Just weeks after signing a reserve-slash-future contract with the Green Bay Packers, wide receiver Jamel Johnson joins us for an interview. He discusses his journey to the NFL and what his future may hold. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. To Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking several off-season matters. To do that, we have a guest joining us today. Not live, this is a pre-recorded interview. But still, it's great to always get a member of the Green Bay Packers on the show for our
expert interview.
And today we have wide receiver Jamel Johnson. And just to refresh your memory, Johnson just a few short weeks ago signed a reserve slash future contract with the Green Bay Packers, meaning he'll become part of the team's 90-man offseason roster when the new league year starts, so in March. So he'll be part of that. He was with the Packers on their practice squad this past season, signed in November, I believe it was, and so spent the rest of the year there. And he's a big guy. He's like 6'2", 207, so big for a wide receiver, big-bodied kind of guy. And it's interesting how his path to the NFL happened. He was actually a rookie in the year 2014. So his college path goes like this. He starts out at Troy in Alabama, University of Troy, where he spends a little bit of time, transfers down a level to Alabama State. And in 2014, as a junior, despite only being third on his own team at Alabama State in receiving, he declares as an underclassman. Probably because he began his college career in 2010 and didn't want to put it off any longer while he was already getting up in age. But anyway, goes undrafted, does not get signed by a team immediately after the NFL draft like so many people do. He actually goes the whole 2014 season out of football. He goes the majority of the 2015 season out of football, until the Packers give him a call mid-season this past year. They brought him in for a workout, so they got to see what he was doing, what he was like, what his talent was like, and decide to sign him to the practice squad after a workout. So, really interesting route to the NFL, and you'll find out more as we air our interview here. So, enjoy it with newly signed Packers wide receiver Jamel Johnson. So, Jamel, let's go back in time after the NFL draft, because if I'm correct, you didn't sign with a team right away and weren't in a training camp, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so were you worried you would never get that chance, seeing as kind of months passed before you signed your first NFL contract?
You kind of have those doubts, just knowing from the situation I came from how limited that the job is. So it was some doubts, but you know, I just kept the faith and just kept believing every day, actually, that I'd get another chance. Cause you know, you just can't have it all at one time. So that's how it went.
What was it, a surprise the Packers signed you to their practice squad, considering you weren't even in a training camp and there's lots of other players that were?
Yes, it was kind of a little doubt, but I felt good after that workout. So, you know, from my agent, he told me I kind of left them scratching their head after the workout. So that was kind of a good thing. So it was just I just believed it would all work itself out. I got the opportunity, so I believed it was gonna be okay.
What when you got that call for that trial? What were you doing at that time during the summer and the fall? Were you working?
Well, when I got the call, it was like on Thanksgiving Day, and I was actually asleep on the couch, missing all the calls that they was calling me. So now I think somebody had got a hold of somebody I was close to, and they had was waking me up like, somebody the Green Bay Packers trying to call me. So I had finally started looking at my phone and getting all the missed calls. So it was like one of those things where it just God is real, and it was one of those situations like that.
So what were some of the things you learned while you were on the practice squad this season?
Just the job itself, being dependable, being accountable, just knowing how to play your role and observe the things you need to observe to be an NFL professional. And just the experience, knowing that I finally got my foot in the door, and it's an actual good chance that I can further my chance in the NFL. It's real.
How big of a difference was it making the leap from a place like Alabama State to one of the NFL's best teams year in and year out?
Of course, it's a pretty big difference. It's a new level, you know. But I want to say that I'm a product of my environment. I always was disciplined, just mentally ready for just any challenge. Just coming up with a lot of adversity, so it was just more. Just I had to just better myself, continue to pray about everything, you know, and just be ready if I ever got the opportunity, and just know how to handle it.
So when I watch you at practice this spring, what am I going to see? What is your best quality or the thing that you offer the Packers?
I knowing myself and what I think a couple things they've seen also that I show in the spring is just that physicality, the deep ball threat, just being able to make the tough catch that you need, like on third and nine. Just keep the sticks moving, and just a good blocker as well. Just a good teammate, an asset to the team.
And what are some of the things you're working on getting better at this off season?
My conditioning, just being able to be on the field all four downs if needed. My cardio, stretching. And definitely my feet work, because I always been a receiver on big, but I had a quick twitch. You know, I got good reaction skills. So just working on my feet work, coming on my breaks quicker, and learning the game, and learning the man in front of me.
Do you ever look at all the players at the wide receiver position and wonder, gosh, I think there's nine of you under contract currently. How can you set yourself apart from that logjam at that position and kind of make your way onto the 53-man roster?
Learn the playbook inside and out. Be as smart as Aaron Rodgers. of course, just. Like I always do, just stay in my own lane and just continue to work. That's the only thing I can do, and everything else will fall into place.
You know what? When you signed the future contract with the Packers, because it was your first regular contract, you got 3 years out of it, and a lot of your teammates got one-year deals. Did that feel good knowing that, you know, you kind of have a little security there with a three-year contract?
It definitely does, and it just shows that the organization definitely liked what I shown just the little time I was there, and it just makes me more motivated and happy to show my talent.
And just, But before I let you go, Jamel, tell me this. I'm betting you caught a lot of passes from Brett Hundley in a practice setting this past year. What's his progression been like as a rookie?
Well, you know how you just see him from TV, and of course he was from UCLA, so I'm in Alabama. So it was one of those things where it's like I'm glad I finally get to meet him and see him and know the person he really is. And he's very smart. He's helpful. And these are just not saying things just because he's a quarterback. He's really that type of guy, and he really studies the game hard. So just a little time I was there, I seen what type of person he is, and you know. I'm the type of person where I have to get to know you first and just see the type of things you do if you're a good-hearted person, and he's definitely in that category. So his progression is going well. And I think they, from what I can tell, I think they really love him up there because he's a good guy, and I think he's tenable as well.
And that's our interview with Packers wide receiver Jamel Johnson. It'll be interesting to see how he does this upcoming spring. When the Packers hit the practice field once again, when OTAs, mini camp, those kind of things happening. And we'll see what the Packers have in a big-bodied wide receiver, 6'2", 207 pounds. Be interesting to see how he puts that size to use as kind of a diamond-in-the-rough kind of prospect. Certainly not a, you know, he's not one of these can't miss kind of guys. You know, there's reasons he went undrafted, but the Packers saw something in him to bring him in, you know, mid-season 2015 and keep him around, signing him to a reserve future contract. And we'll see how it works out. So best of luck to Jamel Johnson as he continues his quest to win a roster spot in the NFL. And with that, we'll continue on with the rest of the show.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, I suppose your news over the weekend, of course, being the offseason, wasn't too much. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers missed the cut in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. But probably more important than that, that news, that insignificant news, was that his knee apparently held up, or at least I have yet to hear to the contrary. So after three rounds of golf at a, you know, some of the highest level of golf on the PGA Tour, competing against professional golfers and the torque that it takes to, you know, get a good drive and a good swing out on a golf course. That's good news that Aaron Rodgers' knee held up. He, of course, had a scope on the knee during the offseason. Nothing major, a cleanup of an old injury, as it's being told. And so, yeah, I mean, the good news is we haven't heard any news that he's hurt the knee or he's had any setbacks or anything like that. When it's February and there is still months to go until the start of the season, let alone the start of like the off season program yet, that's all you can hope for at this point. One tiny little baby step it worked okay on the golf course. The next step is that'll work out on the practice field for him. So we'll continue to monitor Aaron Rodgers' progress over the course of the offseason. But it was interesting, though, that after it was Friday, the first two rounds of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, of course, we talked about this last week. He was paired with Wisconsin PGA Tour pro Jerry Kelly. Aaron Rodgers was actually in a tie for sixth place on the amateur leaderboard or the team leaderboard in which they're, you know, every celebrity is paired with a professional golfer. And so after the first two rounds, they're in sixth place out of 156 teams. 156. Here they, wow, good job, Aaron Rodgers. And only the top 25 make the cut after Saturday. So he was in good shape. You know, you're figuring sixth place, all you got to be is in the top 25 to make the cut. And they fall down to something like 45th, 46th, something like that. They have a very poor day on Saturday and end up missing the cut. And Aaron Rodgers never even played on Sunday, was never even took part in the final round because he didn't make the cut. Wasn't in the money or anything like that, but like I said, just simply a good job that he avoided any setbacks with his surgically repaired knee. The other big news, now that I've had a little bit of time to reflect on the LaTroy Guyon signing, which happened last Friday, if you remember correctly, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, this news broke just as the show was starting, like literally minutes before last year's, we started streaming last Friday's show. And, I kind of shared some off-the-cuff thoughts, here's a little bit more on the LaTroy Guyon signing, and they aren't any more rosy today. Unfortunately, I do not like this signing whatsoever for the Green Bay Packers. I thought it was a very poor allocation of resources. Do I think LaTroy Guyon, just aside from what he did off the field, I think LaTroy Guyon is an average defensive lineman, and their money would have been much better spent elsewhere. So there's that. And on top of that, partially because of his off-field transgressions, I think the Packers vastly overpaid what any other team in the NFL would have paid for him. I understand there's teams out there that will take risks on troubled players, players that have a background. And we've seen very notably, famously, infamously, the Dallas Cowboys doing so with Greg Hardy. But LaTroy Guyon is not in the same category as Greg Hardy. I don't think there's any team in the NFL that would have paid LaTroy Guyon a little over, less than, he gets the 3-year $11.25 million deal. I don't think there's a team out there that would have paid him, would have met $2 million a year for LaTroy Guyon. That's what I think the Packers probably could have or should have paid. A 3-year, $6 million contract. Basically half of what they paid. Because I don't think there's a team out there that would have gave him that. I don't think there's a team in the NFL that would have gave LaTroy Guyon 3 years, $6 million. I don't care how it's structured or whatever. And you know what? If they did, great. He can walk and the Packers can get a compensatory draft choice for him walking away and leaving. That's the way I would have handled it if I were the Green Bay Packers. I would not have sunk $11.25 million into Guyon, and I realize he may not see all of that because we don't know how it's structured yet. But I think no matter how it's structured, the Green Bay Packers vastly overpaid for a guy, an average defensive lineman, and just a poor allocation of resources. I think everybody's wondering, what does this do with B.J. Rodgers? If I were the Packers, I would have, prioritized B.J. Rodgers. And maybe they tried to, for all we know. Maybe Rodgers wants more of a deal. I'll tell you what, I would have gave Rodgers this deal instantly. I would have even gave him a little bit more money than what LaTroy Guyon got, and kind of just looking without knowing the exact numbers and how it's structured, 3 years, $11.25 million. I would have been fine giving B.J. Rodgers that. Because also, you look at this through the perspective that LaTroy Guyon, on top of all this, on top of all the things I've already mentioned, he has violated the league's substance abuse policy at least twice, has been suspended once, and faces the prospect of being, if he were to be suspended again, we're talking at a much longer suspension, like 10 games or something like that. B.J. Rodgers doesn't have that risk. I mean, maybe he violated the substance abuse policy once. We don't know because the NFL doesn't come forth with those kind of things. But even if he were, he would be on his first suspension. LaTroy Guyon, already suspended once, faces, if he were to get suspended again, a much longer suspension. I don't think this is the kind of player you invest millions of dollars into. I'm not sitting here saying that the Packers have to get involved in free agency. But you know what? I look at a guy like Denver Broncos linebacker Danny Trevathan, who's going to be a free agent, and think, boy, he would sure look nice in green and gold. I look at a guy like Jordan Cameron, the tight end from the Miami Dolphins, who has a potential of being cut because of salary cap reasons out in Miami. And I think, oh, wow, he would be a great, you know, addition to the Green Bay Packers. You know, there's hundreds of free agents. I'm talking about two of them. And you know what? The Packers just made it that much harder if they were interested in these guys, because they just sunk, you know, over, you know, between $3 and $4 million a year into LaTroy Guyon. They just made it that much harder to make, you know, the very few free agent signings that make sense. They made it harder to bring these guys in the fold, let alone re-sign all the guys. They now have 13 more, you know, unrestricted free agents on their own roster, of which you think they're going to bring some of them back, not all of them. It's going to be that much harder to get them all under the cap. I just don't think LaTroy Guyon is that great of a defensive lineman. And you know what? This year's crop of defensive linemen in the NFL draft is arguably the deepest of any position out there. Get somebody in the draft. My goodness. Just very disappointed with the way the Packers went about this. Do I think they could have brought LaTroy Guyon back? Yeah. 3-year, $6 million deal. Half of what they paid. Poor allocation of resources, Packers. That's what I think on it. And that's the approach I'm taking to it. Obviously, I'm not the Packers. I'm not hired by them. You know, they'll disagree with me, obviously, because they gave them more. So, but there's your unfiltered thoughts on how the Packers should have approached this deal. And that leads into our next segment.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, and I'll lead you over the next 2 days, I guess. Interesting, tonight, Monday night, the Grammy Awards airing on CBS, 7 p.m. Central Time. 5 Green Bay Packers players are up for Grammy Awards after appearing on the soundtrack, of course, for the movie Pitch Perfect 2, which got a lot of attention last offseason for appearing in the movie. Now the soundtrack has been nominated for a Grammy Award against other compilation albums. So there's competition. There's by no means a guarantee that they're going to win. But it's just interesting that, you know, 5 Packers players, including linebacker Clay Matthews, appeared on 2 tracks on the soundtrack album, and they could potentially have one of those little Grammy Awards on their mantle place, should they happen to win. I tend to think that they probably won't, considering they're going up against a movie like Selma in the same category. But who knows? I'm not much of an expert on the Grammy Awards. But linebacker Clay Matthews, and offensive lineman, 4 of them, Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, David Bakhtiari, and Don Barclay, could all be Grammy Award winners by the end of the night. I don't know if they're out there for the award ceremony. I tend to doubt that they are, to tell you the truth, but who knows? But regardless, they'll learn their fate on Monday night. But perhaps more interesting than that, on Tuesday marks the first day for NFL teams to designate franchise or transition tag players, slap players with a tag, as the saying goes. And in terms of the Green Bay Packers, basically you are looking at one player who has even the remotest chance of getting a tag. And I don't think it's a very good chance, but it's possible. And that player is kicker Mason Crosby. The Packers don't want to have to use the franchise tag, I'm sure. Mason Crosby doesn't want the franchise tag, I'm sure. Because if you get that, that means there's a possibility of you just getting a 1-year deal. if you can't come to some sort of agreement. I mean, they all parties involved would rather just be able to agree on a long-term contract. And I would think Mason Crosby, being a kicker, is not going to sit there and hold out and, you know, demand some sort of better contract. I think somewhere along the line, they're going to be able to find some middle ground. But it is basically, you know, an option available. If the Packers couldn't come to some sort of agreement, instead of losing him, they could put a tag on him. And it wouldn't necessarily have to be the franchise tag. It could be the transition tag instead, which actually might work for a guy like Mason Crosby. You know, a franchise tag is something like if you were to sign with another team, you'd get two draft choices in return. I mean, that's not happening for a kicker. No team's going to give up two draft choices to sign a kicker, two first-round draft choices. So that's why a transition tag might seemingly work in that scenario. But again, Tuesday, simply the first day, there's a window in which NFL teams can use it, and it ends before the start of free agency sometimes. So there's a couple weeks here they have to use it, but we'll be probably hearing a little bit more in the coming weeks about Mason Crosby's contract negotiations with the Green Bay Packers. That's just something to look forward to a little bit here in the immediate future of the Green Bay Packers. We'll be back again on Wednesday on Railbird Central, as this show airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. And that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, we'd really appreciate it if you give us a rating or a review on iTunes. Just search Cheesehead TV at iTunes, and just something brief. We appreciate it because it's the one way to help get word out about the show and help people know that this is the best Green Bay Packers podcast out there. Certainly the most frequently appearing podcast, the longest tenured podcast on the internet dedicated to the Green Bay Packers. So that'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. We'll see you again on Wednesday. On behalf of everybody at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called Liquid by Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go. Change.